This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. Remember, Love Sport is your station giving fans a voice. Every night from 7pm, we put your club in focus. Tonight has been the turn of Chelsea, Leeds, Cardiff, Brighton, Sheffield Wednesday, and now Huddersfield. The fan shows here on Love Sport. We got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline, not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Visit the public liability page on churchill.com. We want to hear from you, Huddersfield fans, at Love Sport Radio. Give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558. It's also the number if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. It's the Huddersfield Town Fan Show with Richard Kuzmala and Brady Frost from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Richard, good evening.
Hiya, how are you doing? All right.
Good, thank you, Richard. Good, good, good. Thanks for joining us. Brady, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. What about yourself?
Not too bad, thank you, Brady. I'm getting to grips with no football. What have you been doing for the past couple of weeks? No football. What on earth you got planned for this weekend?
Well, because we're all working from home. So I've just bought a desk. So I'm going to set that up this weekend. So not the most exciting thing.
That's a start. So you've sort of got to say to your boss, it's like, do you know what? I'd love to work, but I don't have a desk. I'm getting it at the weekend. I'll build it and then I'll start to do some work.
Yes, yeah, that's the plan.
Richard, how about you? How are you holding up with no football?
Yeah, not good, is it? Life without football, but life without life's obviously even worse. Yeah, it's just incredible how it's all escalated. And to me, some of the debates seem totally pointless, you know, this date, that date, what about June? Honestly, forget the months. No one has a clue. I don't even know why people are, you know, saying we're going to start on this date or that date, just indefinitely for me. And yeah, it's really scary, mate. And we played Leeds 2 weeks ago, but yeah, it feels like 2 years ago. Everything's just escalated so quick. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I don't know what to say, really.
Yeah, well, someone reminded me today that I was covering the PSG Dortmund game last week, and I thought it seems like a different season. It seems such a long time ago. I think, wow, I can't actually believe that game even happened, and I sat there and watched that. You mentioned obviously the dates, and I agree to you to a certain extent. They've said April 30th that's when the earliest football will resume, but rather counterintuitively, the Football League and the Premier League have also said, but we will finish this season. So if things drag on for as long as we think they might, Richard, then that means maybe we're finishing this season in September, in October, and then we start the next season then. Does that seem practical to you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you probably, you know, I don't know, do we have a 23-game season? The season after, it's just one of those. I think we've just got to play it by ear. Honestly, the debate shows are kind of doing my head in. I know people got time to fill now and, you know, what is there to talk about? But, yeah, you've got to try and finish the season. It's an obvious statement, really. But it's just the things are moving so quick. And I think the problem is that we're behind the other countries, aren't we, that, you know, of being in lockdown earlier and what have you. And look how long it's taken them to kind of get some kind of hold on it. So, yeah, it just seems pointless even discussing it, to me, to be honest with you, at the moment. It's just, it's incredible, really.
Brady, how much do you think that Huddersfield are going to suffer from that loss of match day revenue? Because, obviously, they're a big club, I mean, compared to some of the clubs further down the pyramid, but match day revenue is still a huge part of the club's income, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, our chief exec, Mark Devlin, he came out and said we'd be okay, but I think it's just, like Cosy was saying, you don't know how long it's going to be, so you would kind of worry. I think, you know, obviously the longer it goes on, and obviously we've seen tonight with the Prime Minister with some other stuff, you'd hope there'd kind of be funds in place to help with that. I think the EFL promised 50 mil for the time being anyway. Yeah. But yeah, it's. I think we'd be okay. Like you say, I'd worry about. I think we talked about it last week. The kind of lower league teams like your Macclesfield, who've already struggled to pay players as it is. I think it's, and Barnet have just left, let go a lot of their non-playing staff. So it's, it's a difficult time if you're a fan of a club in the lower leagues.
Do you think the Premier League has a responsibility to subsidise the teams in the lower league, given how much richer the Premier League is and the clubs in the Premier League are than everybody else?
Ultimately. I mean, you know, like you said, the Premier League, it's got, you know, incredible amount of finance. And when you hear stories about, you know, how people, like I say, with Barnet, how they have to let go of non-playing staff after, 2 weeks of not playing a match, you know, when you consider some of the wages that, you know, the highest earners in the league get, you know, talking 300 grand a week. It seems crazy that, you know, 17 million, I think, will keep the National League going for 4 months. That's every team in the National League, you know, but that's what I mean. It's just, you know, the Premier League do have that spare for sure. I mean, what's 5 million to the Glazers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just doing some quick sums off the top of my head, and that off the top of my head is about 2/3 of Gareth Bale's yearly earnings. So it kind of, yeah, puts it into perspective. That's the only monetary system I understand. I only analyse things in how many bales you can pay with that. Richard, what about the staff at the club? And I don't just mean players, but obviously you've got the match day staff, people who kind of work in the bars and whatever, and kind of do burgers and pies and whatever in the concourse, stewards. I mean, I'm guessing there's a huge amount of staff affected.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrendous. I think the problem, obviously the problem that we're going through, it just affects so many things. It's not just the players on the pitch, like you say, it's the, you know, the staff off it, and, you know, people on zero contracts, the freelance people, your journalists, yourself, you know, there's not everyone's like got a, you know, a nice contract, really, that, you know, can maybe work from home. I think we're kind of, me and Brady, the lucky ones that can work from home. A lot of other people, you know, are not that lucky, really, in that as well. And this is what I can't understand when, you know, we need to get the season, we need to play behind closed doors. I'm sure that, you know, I don't know how it works with TV contracts. If there's no games, you know, does Sky not pay, you know, the clubs or what have you? I don't know how it works. But to me, just, you know, playing behind closed doors, the revenue surely has got to be a lot less. And like, yeah, say, them, you know, they don't need all them staff that they normally have for a filled up stadium. So it's such a huge mess, but I think it's so scary, really. I think, I don't want to turn it into a news programme, I'm just trying to lighten the mood, but we're just braced for pretty much what, you know, China, Italy have had, and wow, it's shocking, really. But what can you say? We're all in it together. That's the only kind of positive I can kind of pull out of the situation at the moment, in unity, everyone. But you say we're all in it together. I've just driven past the pub at 10 o'clock tonight. It's absolutely packed. So there's so many thick people in there around that just don't get the project, but yeah, they're going to get it soon. And it's really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the TV money, actually. And I think what a lot of people maybe don't understand, and you touched on it here, is that Sky and BT kind of don't hand over 5 billion quid at the start of the season. They pay for matches that are allocated in segments, so they kind of work out between each other, okay, BT are going to get this, Sky are going to get this, and they divvy it up. This includes for highlights programs for EFL and all the way down the football structure. And the TV companies don't all pay in one whack. They pay in kind of 10-week periods, and there is an issue that potentially, as you say, that could affect everybody, another financial issue. The TV companies go, if we're not getting our games, we ain't paying you. Kind of
yeah,
thing.
And you've only got to see, mate, as well, obviously, that Sky and BT this week, you know, if you want to stop the subscription, so their takings are down, and obviously, that you know, sure they'll have a quid or two, but, you know, and so then, yeah, to the games. So that's why they're desperate to get the games on. I mean, been quite a lot of programmes, aren't they? Interesting debate, and one of them, you know, if we have to fit the season in, then we're going to have to play three times in a week. It's just been nice to have that kind of situation arrive, wouldn't it, really? And that's what just seems so far away at the moment, anything, you know, like this, and watching a Scottish programme to their hearts. I mean, they're being the first ones, aren't they? 50% wage cut. I think the manager Stendhal's disappeared, doesn't want pain as well. I mean, that Scottish Premier League, and whatever you think about that, he's still the top league in, you know, in the country, for Scotland, and Hearts obviously not doing so well this season, but that, you know, you would class them as a kind of a decent-sized club, but when they're kind of sending these messages out after, what, 1-2 weeks without a game, it's, wow, it's just a tip, isn't it, I think.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Maybe it's going to cause people to rethink the financial model that football's based around. If a 2-3 week hiatus can cause so much trouble, maybe we need to look again at the finances in football. I don't know where we'd start to do that. I certainly don't have any of the expertise there, but certainly feels like we're kind of all on a knife edge. Danny Cowley, however, has already, Danny Cowley, started looking at what he might need for next season. So according to Yorkshire Live, Mark Devin has confirmed that there are two budgets. There's one for League One, which obviously we don't want to think about, but there's also one for the Championship. So Brady, does it give you a little bit of hope that they're already potentially looking at transfer targets and planning for what comes next? It's kind of, it feels very Danny Cowley to me, this kind of looking that far into the future and working out what might happen, because he is a manager who's quite meticulous.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows when that transfer window is going to be. But, you know, I think it's refreshing considering how much of a shambles the previous transfer window
yes.
before, and you know, me and Cosy have talked about it quite a bit, but the January transfer window in particular was fantastic, we thought, Cowley's first transfer windows in charge, and I think, you know, I'm feeling quite positive when kind of football gets back underway, we can get some really good players to add to the side. I mean, like going back to January, we added Emile Smith-Rowe on loan from Arsenal, who's been fantastic. Richard Stearman's come in and, you know, done a really good job. And yeah, it'd be great to have I suppose now we do have this time, they have the time to plan and do it properly, because that was severely lacking last season.
Brady, have you heard about this app that Danny Cowley's given the players?
No, tell me a bit more.
So basically, what he's done, and this is one of the many reasons that I like him, is a lot of managers have kind of gone, oh, well, just keep yourself fit at home, or they've kept bringing players in, which obviously not really meant to be doing. But Danny Cowley there's a special fitness app where there's been specific programs designed for every single player in the Huddersfield first team squad, and Danny Cowley and his staff can monitor their progress. So it's a bit like going out for the evening and leaving your kids at home and ringing the babysitter to make sure they're behaving, essentially. So he's checking that they're staying fit. I mean, that's got to be a good thing. At least he's still taking it seriously and trying to keep up that fitness, because that's obviously going to be a huge issue, isn't it? Players, no matter what's going to happen, are going to really, really struggle fitness-wise.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, that's great to hear. I like that he's checking up on them. I mean, we were joking in one of our chats the other day, Steve Mounier's been on Instagram dancing and all sorts. So that's been quite entertaining. But that's good to see. You know, I think it was kind of interesting to find out. I think it was Andy Booth talking to the Examiner, saying it's really easy to lose your match fitness. I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks and then, you know, he's kind of gone. So, yeah, it's good that he's checking in. I'd love to see the results and see how everyone's getting on, but I don't think we'll get that.
That's absolutely right. I mean, personally, I think the one mistake he's made, I wouldn't have told them. And then just after a week, give him a ring, just like, oh, yeah, how's the old running going? It's like, oh, do you know what, boss? I'm absolutely knackered. It's like, oh, yeah. I think that's the way to teach him a lesson. Hey, listen, we're going to be back with the Huddersfield Town Fan Show in a few moments' time here on Love Sport.
for the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. It's the Huddersfield Town fan show. Don't forget, from 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. So if you're listening to us on Love Sport London, then you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Press the auto tune, refresh or auto scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto tune to make sure you don't miss your favourite shows on Love Sport Radio. Don't forget, we do want to hear from you tonight. 0208 70 20 558 to give us a call or send us a WhatsApp message. Or you can get in touch on social media at Love Sport Radio. Right, it's the Huddersfield Town fan show with Richard Kosmala and Brady Frost from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Richard, let me ask you, what have you made of Danny Cowley's time in charge at Huddersfield so far? Have you seen the progression that I think all Town fans hope for?
100%, and I've said it many times, but when he came, I thought we were doomed, to be honest with you. It was late September with, you know, I think it was one point in eight or nine. And yeah, I think the biggest thing that he had there was a fractured dressing room, morale, bottom, you know, key players just not performing, a lot of bad eggs in there. And he's managed to turn that around. He's had to be in a bumpy ride, as expected. Just showed last week. I know we were one last play a couple of weeks ago now, with a couple of nice little wins against. We beat the teams, to be fair, who, you know, either been on bad runs, or there's no one I think we've seen on the road that's been like, wow, that's a standout one. I think it showed against Leeds. I was bitterly disappointed that kind of how we played that that day. We showed that we're miles off, but I think the key thing is we've been taking points off teams, you know, kind of above and around us and things like that as well. So highly delighted. And you can kind of see his plan. You can see the path. I've been quite pleased with some of the football that we've played since the new year, to be honest. Sorry, probably, you know, early Feb as well. We've played some nice stuff. And like Brady was saying earlier, I think it's quite, I don't know, exciting to me. But it's, yeah, very optimistic for next season, whenever that may be, whatever that is or looks like at the moment, that, you know, there's kind of a new place there, something to build on. And yeah, Emil Smith Rowe, brilliant, and just shows that, you know, going to go back to Arsenal, much better player, which when word gets around that maybe we'll get a few more style at some other, you know, Premier League clubs. So yeah, massive tick, positive box really. And if we get back on the pitch at some point, then I expect us to stay up really, which I never thought when he started.
Well, Trevor Chalobah's been talking about how much he's enjoyed working with Danny Cowley. Brady, what are the big differences that you've seen under Cowley?
I think, you know, We talked about it quite a bit, but when Wagner, we're going way back, but when Wagner left, the club was in a bit of a, you know, we just had our greatest manager leave and we didn't really know what to do. Jan came in and he was just a bit inexperienced and not the right guy for the job. So when he got his marching orders, we had a squad that wasn't fit, that was low on confidence, like Cosy said, 1 point in the first 7 or 8 games. So we looked like destined to do a Sunderland. And I think, you know, the Cowleys have come in and they've brought, I hate to use it, but like the marketing team, this terrier spirit. Like, I think even games where we've lost, we've shown some fight. I think one match that particularly impressed me was against Fulham. We were 3-0 down and we came back to 3-2. And if their goalkeeper, Rodak, didn't put in, you know, a Gordon Banks-esque performance, I think we probably would have got a point, maybe more. So I think it's just, it's the competitiveness, and it's like going to a match on a Saturday knowing you've got a good chance of doing all right. I think this season's always been about survival, but as I've kind of touched on it, I think a full pre-season and a full season under the Cowleys, and I really do think we'll perform well and be up there, maybe not promotion, but certainly top 10 pushing for the playoffs if we get the right players.
And Brady, what about Kean Harrott? So he's not a player that I know tons about. Only 17, I think, still. Looks like a hell of a prospect, right?
Yeah, and it's good. You know, we've not really had too many young lads come through recently, apart from Philip Billion, and we all know how that turned out. But hopefully he can get some minutes. I think, obviously, we've had Raquel Pike in the squad, but Harrott was in and around the first team when we were struggling for players. But it, like I say, if he can kind of join in the in the pre-season, and the Cowboys can have a proper look at him. Hopefully he can, you know, push for the breakthrough in the first team next season.
Richard, let me ask, who so far, I mean, let's analyse the season, call this a natural stopping point. Let's talk about heroes and zeros. Who, firstly, let's start with the negatives. Who's really disappointed for you?
Ooh, you put me on the spot there. and that as well. To be honest, we've probably... God, can't you ask that to Brady? I'd rather concentrate on the positives, to be honest with you, but...
okay, so we got some, have we got some... So you can't think of any negatives, you said?
I could at the start of the season, but we've kind of moved a few of them away, really, and that as well. But
let's go now, positive, then. Who are the heroes?
Lewis O'Brien, for me, massive hero. He came back from Bradford, where he spent a season on loan there, and he's just come in and he's kind of took the... Oh, maybe it's a bit exaggerated, set the division by storm, but if you ask any manager in the division about Lewis O'Brien, they'll know, you know, what prospect he's going to be in that as well. I love his energy, love his work ethic. He's always improving. He burst not to say, I think his first goal was at West Brom, where in televised game in September when we were pretty dire in that as well. And yeah, I would see maybe another season with other sealed, and then maybe up to pastures new, maybe going up to Premier League. I think is that good, to be honest with you, on that as well. Neil Smith-Rowe, we've talked about, obviously he's not our player, but he, you know, he looks kind of, you know, a player that hopefully we can get back on a season-long loan next season. That'd be, you know, fantastic, really. Steve Mooney has been an interesting one where never thought he'd be with us, to be honest with you. I thought he was one of those that had not even finished past August. I thought then in January he'd be going again, but I love his attitude, to be honest with you. He's really come back you know, into the reckoning, and I think he's been unlucky to be on the bench. It was quite a few times, really, when I would have started with him. But, yeah, because of where you had the lot going the other way and refusing to kind of play, really, and wanting out. Mooney is the one that still kind of remains, and he's done really well in that as well. But, yeah, I mean, we're top. I suppose I found a negative one. he's not with us. He's at Nottingham Forest. He's Adama Diakabi, but... Yeah. He's been awful for them as well, so I think we'll be getting him back in the summer and that as well. Not as bad as Isaac and Benzo, who's horrendous. He's in France at Amiens, I think, as well, and he's breaking into their team when they, you know, were playing a bit back. But yeah, it really has been hit and miss. But like Brady said there, January's good because we got rid of a lot of our bad eggs and got some quality in and that as well. And there is much to build on. Richard Stearman's another one who's, you know, he's turned 33, I think. Soon, but to me, he's fit as a fiddle, and I think we'll get a few years out of him yet. So, yeah, it's only positive for me.
Lovely stuff. And Brady, who's impressed you?
Well, I kind of agree with Cozzy. I suppose that's not what you want on a radio show, two blokes agreeing with each other. But
it's nice. That's all about harmony.
Yeah, no, especially in these times. O'Brien's been, I agree, player of the season. I think. Like not at the start of the season, but I think he's improved a lot recently. I think Trevor Chalobah's come in when he's come in, and I think he's performed really well. Hogg was suspended, and he kind of took his role. And I think having players like Smith-Rowe and, you know, O'Brien around him, I think Chalobah's performed really well. So I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think Toffolo, since he's come in, you know, just exactly what you want from a left back, gives you a 7 out of 10 every time. I didn't even think it was a We had Jayden Brown, who was a youngster that we got on loan, that we got from Tottenham, and he wasn't really expected to play, and he did a good job. But I think since Toffolo's come in, it's just we look a lot better defensively, to be honest. So I think he's another one, and it'd be great to have a full season under him too.
Nice one, chaps. Thank you so much. It's been really great chatting to you. Look after yourselves. do you know what it's as you say
again sometime?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? I'd love to get you back on again, and we'll have some football to talk about. But in the meantime, look after yourselves. Thank you very much, Richard Cosmala and Brady Frost from the "And He Takes That Chance" podcast. It's been the Huddersfield Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. I'm going to be back tomorrow morning with Dave Chidgey from 8 a.m. on the Saturday Breakfast Show. We've got loads and loads of stuff to talk about. We'll be keeping you up to date with, of course, what's going on with coronavirus. But also, we've got loads of fun stuff planned as well, including footballers who've led lives of crime. all that to look forward to tomorrow morning on Love Sport. Don't forget, you can catch up on the podcast from any of the fan shows. All you need to do is just jump on the website and make sure you check out at Love Sport Radio for all our best content. I'll chat to you in the morning.
Downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.